there are going to be other shoes to drop as this happens. We have a caller coming in here. Aisha, I believe, are you with me? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, is this Aisha?
Yes, sister. It's me, Aisha. How are you doing?
Okay. It's nice to have you on my first call this evening. Do you have a question for me?
Yes, I do. I hear your show all the time, and we've listened to it. And it's...
Well, what question do you have for me, Aisha? I just lost Aisha. Mustafa, are you with me?
Hi, Darryl. Yeah, I'm calling from London, England.
How are you, Mustafa?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, and my question is, you mentioned this $700 billion bailout being discussed.
It's $850 billion, Mustafa.
Okay, forgive me, $850 billion. Now, the thing is, the media has been discussing this figure, that from my understanding, that this is Congress or the American government is going to get a loan to give this money. So what is the true cost? Because we know if you get a loan from a bank, say if you've got 100,000, you may perhaps over 25 years pay 300,000 back. So is there an idea of the actual true cost?
Well, if you, it's amortized over the full life of the loan, which I doubt will ever be paid back. It's going to be put onto the backs of the future American generations, which is going to guarantee that America remains in poverty from now until the end of my lifetime and beyond. But more than that, it's going to pay off foreign banks that bought treasury bills in the United States and also to pay off local banks such as Goldman Sachs, which is a Rothschild-inspired investment firm. And these people are going to take overly inflated value dollars at these prices right now. They're going to get paid off. And then sometime within 6 months, this entire economy is going to go completely into nothing. It's going to go into a Weimar hyperinflation situation. So basically, I don't think that loan is ever going to be paid off. What they need to do right now is get some more money in their criminal coffers so that they can buy more of the means of production. If you take a look around the world, there is not a single industry or a single bus system or a bank in Europe or America that's not owned by this group. They're, you know, the privatizing they've been doing in London by privatizing the train systems, privatizing this whole privatizing thing. Everything that was sold was bought up by criminal Zionists. Everything. Your water systems, take a look at the name on the truck, Veolia. Your rubber system, Veolia. These companies, this is a Rothschild company. They have bought up every single possible asset in the world with our money. And now they're going to make us pay the bills in the future. They don't care if the money changes from the dollar to the Amero to the Euro. They control all the means of production, and they control the governments that make the laws. They don't care what anything else that happens. That's it.
Yep, I mean, that's very clear, their control. The control of governments. Thanks a lot, Darryl.
Mustafa, you know, I got to say this, though. You know, there are people across the globe who have become aware of these facts. Some people are courageous enough to take a risk and look further. And what I urge people to do is have courage and do the research. Don't take Darryl Bradford Smith's word for this.
No.
Don't take anybody's word. Do the due diligence, and when you finally come to the realization that the things I've been saying are true, then you have to go out and find others to convince them. Because we can get a groundswell against them. I don't know how much time we have before bad things will happen, but, oh, I don't know.
I mean,
I don't know.
I constantly speak with people and try and bring this information to them. I mean, before I heard about you, the book I read that started to change everything was The Israel Lobby and U.S. Foreign Policy by Mersheimer. And
yes.
I was at university, read this book, and the more I dug, the more I researched, what I was finding was shocking me. And
yeah.
Then, you know, by the grace of God, I found your radio station, and you was putting out the same information. The information's there, but it seems people have become comatized. They don't want to access it because it will burst the bubble they're in.
Well, have you been to IamTheWitness.com?
Yep, continually, every day.
Well, that site has, for me, the most important thing on the site, I think, to solidify your belief is Benjamin Friedman. Once you listen to Ben Friedman's hour-long presentation, if you still think that this is a hoax, boy, you got something wrong with you. And so what I try to do is get people to listen to that, Mustafa, because if you hear Benjamin Friedman, you know clearly this man is sincere.
Yep, I mean, he one thing that historians can't explain is why the British came out with a Balfour Declaration. Why would they promise to give somebody else's land they had no control over to another group of people? Mainstream historians, they can't explain this, but Benjamin Friedman, he explains it, and information he gives...
And what his explanation is very logical. And see, this is one of the things that happens. As soon as you get smoke cleared out from your eyes, you can start really seeing the truth about what has happened. And everything leads up to today, Mustafa. Everything. I think Abdullah is on the line. Abdullah, are you with me? Hello?
Hello, it's Abu Bakr.
Oh, Abu Bakr. Okay, Abu Bakr. How are you?
Bonjour. How are you, Daryl?
Very, very well, sir.
Okay, just to corroborate, you know, what you've been talking about, the financial systems, I think recently I've heard about a book called Greed, Inc. by Wade Rowland. I don't know if you've read that book or come across it.
You know, no, I haven't. Tell me a little bit about it.
You know, basically this explains what you've been talking about, how the big corporates, you know, how they've engineered this financial crisis and how they're benefiting out of the whole thing. You know, where you're getting all the big fat cats, you know, on Wall Street, you know, executives getting bonuses like $18 million, you know, per year, and how they're siphoning money out of the whole system. But, you know, anyway, when you get a chance, maybe you must have a look at that book. What I was going to ask you is the, this world domination by the Zionists and, the masters who have control, everything. How do the ordinary people now, you know, counteract this onslaught, or, you know, what can ordinary people do, you know, to lessen their, influence?
First of all, they don't have as many people on the ground as they need to control the world. So what they use to control the world is deception. They use fear. They use terror. This fake idea of terrorism. 99.9% has been perpetrated by the very people committing the financial crimes. There are no Islamic terrorists, ladies and gentlemen, unless they've been paid for by these criminal bankers to go out into the world and commit heinous acts. But more often than not, it's the Mossad doing it.
Right.
So the truth of the matter is, what they need is to keep people fearful. And once you've in a state of fear, you're very willing to take orders from someone else. Now, I keep asking people to be courageous. Look, the worst thing that's going to happen in this life is that you're going to die. Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Everybody's going to die.
Right.
So I would personally don't worry about such things. What I worry about is how I live.
Yes.
And you see, for me to live a life of a lie under the yoke of oppression of these people is not living at all. It is not living at all. So I'm forced just by my own personal doctrine not to accept this. I'm hoping that other people can see that without freedom, life is not worth living.
Great.
And this is the thing that people need to understand, and that's the bubble that Mustafa was talking about. They've got to break out of their bubble and understand that unless they start understanding this crime wave, you're not going to have freedom, and life is not going to be the joy that everyone thinks. I don't get joy in going shopping on the high street. This is not what brings me happiness. What brings me happiness is some puppies that were born in my house recently, or my wife being making something wonderful for dinner, and then we sit and then have conversation. Talking to somebody or helping somebody down the road from me, working with them for a day. These are things that bring me joy, Not this nonsense these people have sold me, that I'm supposed to look like a girl and walk around like a nitwit and listen to sick music and watch perversion on television. This is not enjoyment, ladies and gentlemen. This is keeping you deceived.
Absolutely. And I agree with you totally there. So, Swami Akhiri, I'd just like your take on this. In the Muslim world, there's a new phenomenon that's come out, you know, the so-called, they call them Sharia-compliant or Islamic equity, you know, funds. Where they, you know, I think the Muslim public are being fooled into believing that, you know, all these companies, as which you've, you know, alluded to earlier on, are Zionist-controlled, that, you know, they are sort of, you know, interest-free or, you know, they're kosher, when, you know, the opposite is actually, you know, the case, that most of these first Zionist-controlled and, I mean, the whole stock market system, I mean, it's, you know, its lifeblood is the interest system. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, Muslims are just getting fooled into believing that, you know, stock market investments are, you know, sort of, you know, clean. You know, what you really need to do is, you know, have unlisted grassroots, you know, companies, you know, more development, you know, economics, you know, where, like, for instance, the food crisis, I mean, you know, the multinationals and corporations, I mean, you know, they control, you know, all the, you know, food sources, and that's where, you know, the problems emanate from. So we need to, like actually grow our own foods. I think you were mentioning you grow some in your backyard. So
yes,
that's what, you know, people need to do, or, you know, start their own, you know, agricultural operations, you know, and get out of the clutches of the likes of Monsanto and, you know, other large...
Cargill yes, all these agribusinesses, you're exactly right about all of that. But the fact of the matter is, you know, all the technology they keep throwing down our throats, I don't own a cell phone. I don't want a cell phone. I don't need to have a new BlackBerry. I don't need that stuff. It doesn't bring me joy in this life. The things that bring me joy, again, have nothing to do with material stuff. It has to do with helping somebody or doing nice things. And once people return to those ideals, they start understanding that all that other stuff is absolutely without value.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, they need to change their value systems, you know, instead of getting caught up in this, you know, materialistic world, you know, which we've just been, you know, it's been, you know, pushed down our throats. And we really need to return to, you know, the natural, you know, beauties that are, you know, available to us. So that, you know.
Well, you're exactly right, Abu Bakr. Is there another question?
No, that's all. I'll give somebody else a chance. So
thank you very much for your call, my friend. I appreciate it. I don't know who's up next. Who? Ahmed, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here, Gerald. Can you hear me?
I sure can. How are you, my friend?
Pretty good. Good to hear from you.
You sound like you're from Canada.
No, I'm from the U.S.
you're from U.S. Okay, good. Okay, what's up?
Almost line of sight to the Pentagon here, Northern Virginia. So.
Oh boy.
The belly of the beast, if you will.
Well, what's new with you, my friend?
Well, you know, it seems like you and you were spot on with everything that's going on and you know exactly what's happening. That's just kind of, I guess, sort of proves retroactively. You know, in retrospect, everything you were saying was correct.
How long have you been going to my website?
About 3 months.
Now, if you look back on the internet to a year ago, 2 years ago, you'll find that I was the most discredited man in the whole world. They said I'm a pedophile, I'm a murderer, I'm everything. You can't believe some of the things these people said I am and do. It's the most astonishing thing. And people actually bought into it and really didn't listen to me for a very long time because they believed that I was all these things people said.
Yeah, well, just coming out of Ramadan, you know, there's a hadith that the prophet, he said that towards the end of time, there'll be an era where a liar will be believed and a truthful person will always be disbelieved. So, you know, that almost fits this era to the dot. You know what I mean?
And, it does.
You know, we have people who you know, continuously proven to be lying and continuously proven to be doing murderous things around the world, and, you know, they can just sort of get on TV and everybody has, like, 24-hour amnesia, so they don't forget what this person was saying the day before, and then, you know, they can just come in and spat off all these lies and people believe them. But my question was, you know, I've sort of been, you know, I looked at all the financial lectures that you and Mohammed Rafiq had, and you did pretty good in explaining everything that was going to happen, what was really happening behind the scenes. And you know, like I said, I don't really watch TV anymore or anything like that, and I don't even really, I just sort of sidestep the mainstream media altogether. But my question was, you mentioned something about 6 months. Within 6 months, do you think that we'll be in martial law?
Well, here's my take. This infusion of cash, this funny money that was printed up by the Treasury and given to their crony buddies, will temporarily inflate the dollar's value. It'll go up over 85 in the basket of currencies, meaning that it will be a more valuable dollar. You'll see a bump up in some other stock market prices. Gold will be decimated probably in the short term. Silver as well. You'll get some buying coming in, but it'll stay in the 700-800 range for a while, maybe into 900 once in a while. Then, by Christmas time, when the numbers from Christmas sales and from the retailers start coming in and people realize that this is going to be the worst Christmas season for retail sales in history, that is going to be the death nail for the economy. It will not recover from that. And by January of next year, people are going to be reeling by the reports that are coming in. And what's going to happen is you're going to see mainstream companies failing across America. You're going to see huge increases in unemployment. You're going to see bad news on every street corner. And it's just going to snowball. Now, none of these things happen in a linear fashion. What we see is a descent into the maelstrom. We don't see everything just go all at one day. You're going to see a slow deterioration into just a horrible, horrible place. Now, martial law is going to be decided on by the powers that be, and I can't guess what day they'll declare that. But I can tell you it's on the front burner for them. They are going to put it into action. And I don't think Europe is immune from that kind of problem as well. And I believe countries like France and countries like Spain and Italy and others are going to find their own forms of martial law. And I believe Britain is already in martial law.
Right. Well, you know,
I mean, Britain doesn't know it. But they've got cameras on every corner. They've got somebody in everything that they do. They've got people taking photographs of them on the highways. They've got every single phone call monitored. Britain is already in martial law, and they just don't know it.
Well, if the dollar implodes, you know, what will that do to the massive U.S. intervention abroad? I mean, like, you know, they say that they spend $10 billion a week, or was it a week or a month in say, Iraq and with Afghanistan and all these other places. If their dollar loses all credibility, then what will happen to those massive interventions? I mean, why would they collapse their dollar prematurely before all the ducks were in a row? You know what I mean? That's what I don't quite understand.
Well, okay. Now you have to understand that currencies like the Japanese yen and in fact the yuan or renminbi, which is the Chinese money, they're all part of the same network, and there will be American troops in important areas propped up by Japanese money, by Australian money, by European money, by South American money. There are participants in this crime gang that transcend borders. And the Japanese, if you notice, have been pumping money into the United States for decades. Now, that's not because the Japanese love investing in bad American paper. It's because the Bank of Japan is just an arm of the Federal Reserve.
Okay.
So when you wonder how these troops are going to remain there, there will always be a cash flow coming in to keep their important assets under control.
Right.
So, I mean, of course, but the American people are going to be so beaten down. I mean, if I could get out of America, if I were you, I'd head for the hills. I'd head to Ecuador, or I'd head someplace. I wouldn't stay there. I can tell you that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The stormtroopers are only down the highway for me, too, so it's not friendly. But, you know, as far as, you know, just this bailout, you know, I tried my best to, you know, talk to certain people about this, but, you know, it's amazing the level of ignorance that, you know, that people can just live through. These Wall Street bankers, and, you know, they always talk about Wall Street is not Main Street and whatever, but these Wall Street people, these bankers, they just operate in a parasitical fashion. They don't create anything of value for the economy. They don't make cement. They don't make roads. They don't make bridges. They don't, you know, manufacture products. They're just middlemen that are saying, oh, well, if we don't bail these people out, we're all going to die. Well, to me, that seems like extortion.
It is extortion, and they are just parasites. And in fact, they've been parasites for 2,000 years. And if you are familiar with what Christ called them, they were called the vipers, and he said that they were usury vipers that were sucking the blood out of the public in Jerusalem of his day. So the point of the matter is that these people have a multi-millennial history of being blood-sucking parasites.
Right, right. Yeah, it's you know, it's amazing that, you know, this is obviously not any sort of a people's republic when you can take $700 of $700 billion or $800 billion or God knows what it's really going to be, and say, well, we've got to bail out these private institutions. They weren't sharing any money when they were making money. You know what I mean? They weren't doing anything for anybody. And now, you know, if the government's got $800 billion, you know, they should be there shouldn't be student loans. There shouldn't be all sorts of debt. They should write off the debt of the people who pay the taxes. Not write off the debts of, you know, all these people who are essentially private institutions. To me, that seems almost like a socialism for the rich and vulture capitalism for the poor.
You got it exactly right. That's exactly right, my friend. Is there any other question?
My only other question would be, you know, you were mentioning silver and stuff like that. I noticed silver went down a little bit over the past, do you think that's part of the forced depression before the forced depression of the prices before it goes sky high?
If I were buying silver, I wouldn't be buying it as an investment. I'd be buying it as a medium of exchange for when things go completely bad. And so my point to you would be, if you're buying metals, on my advice, it has nothing to do with investment. It has everything to do with you having the ability to go to the marketplace in the future and being able to buy goods and services that you need to survive, because your fiat dollar is not going to have value, but your silver coin will. And you will find that it buys a heck of a lot more than any other thing you could be carrying around in your pocket. And so that's the real reason why I advise people to have these metals in their lives, because you may make money on it. That's not my intent here. This is not an investment advice. I'm not licensed to give investment advice. I'm giving survival advice.
Right, right. I got that point, because if you can sell it for more paper money, well, what's that paper money going to do anyways, you know? So I understand where you're coming from in terms of, it's just going to be able to, you know, buy you food or buy you wood or whatever. But, you know, I totally understand that. But what I meant was, you know, as far as, you know, silver coins, I mean, silver dollars, stuff like that, 1 ounce coins, is that what you're talking about?
I would buy any silver coin that I could find at a reasonable price above metal weight. It doesn't matter if it's a dime all the way up to the silver dollars. You can buy them for anywhere around 13, 11, 12, and plus a little premium for the numismatic value. Usually you'll pay 14 or 15 if you can find them. They're very hard to find these days. Silver coins are almost non-existent in the United States. You can get them in Switzerland. You can get some of them in France. Definitely in Britain you can find them, but America is getting harder and harder. Any other questions?
Do you get PayPal? Because I didn't get any sort of confirmation. I did send something through PayPal, but I never got any sort of confirmation. I don't know if you ever got it. Does PayPal work for you?
Yeah, it supposedly does. It's on the site. It's supposed to generate a thank you, and I get a receipt for it. But I don't write back to people because I don't really want them to think that I've got their emails on my machine. You see,
right?
I'm not about keeping information about people who help me because I don't want that information to be accessed by anybody else either.
Okay. Look forward to any more commentary you and Muhammad Rafiq. If you guys can get together and produce something else, that'd be really helpful because there's a lot to comment on lately, and it's coming.
Well, we're going to try to do something soon with maybe Muhammad or somebody else as well. Thank you very much for your call.
Take care.
I think I've got another caller on the line here. I don't know the name. Who's Abdullah? How are you, friend?
I'm very well. You know, I actually phoned in because I detect that you're depressed today.
You're depressed today. Why is that, Abdullah?
No, you are depressed today. You know, you're not sounding very bubbly like you normally do. You know.
I'm not bubbly. Oh. Well, things aren't good, Abdullah. I'm like you, okay? I get up in the morning, I put my pants on one leg at a time here, and the pressures of the day, you know, right now it's almost 11 o'clock at night for me. I've been reading these problems for a better part of the day, and learning about them for the better part of 5 years, and I'm just plain out worn down. I'm struggling financially like everybody else, trying to keep this information coming. And I got to say to you, man, it wears you down. I try to keep a positive bent on things, but it's very hard to do.
Well, Daryl, you know, we're going to give you all the support that you can from South Africa, you know. And even though you're not getting any emails, you know, we are aware of the work you're doing. We access your websites, and we know the work that you're doing. And we pray, you know, that Almighty God gives you the life to continue the good work that you are doing.
Well, I'm very grateful for those kind words, my friend. I really am.
And that was just one thing, you know. I was just scanning through some of the American newspaper websites like Washington Post and New York Times, you know. And
yeah.
I'm reading through the readers, the editor. And I was totally appalled, you know, at the lack of knowledge of the American people. They don't know what's happening in the country.
Well, but Abdullah, that's not a surprise, though, because once you understand the level of propaganda that the media is pumping out into the American public, and the fact that Americans have to work almost constantly. You know, you work 50-hour week over in America these days to make ends meet.
Yes.
People don't really have a lot of time to look into these facts because, frankly, they're exhausted by the end of the week. Now, here's the other side. They're also poisoning their water, Abdullah. They're putting fluoride in the water. It reduces your intellect by 10 to 15%.
Mm.
And when you drink fluorinated water, it turns you into a mental defective.
Daryl, you know, it's late. It's also the same time here in South Africa. You know, it's late. And, you know, listening to what you have to say, you know, I have no doubt at all that you are talking the absolute truth. I've been to your websites. I've checked some of the work that you do, you know, and it's very laudable what you are doing. And
thank you.
And, you know, it's really surprising, you know, that people in America are not even questioning the government as to why are you stealing so much of money from us.
Yeah. Well,
it's shocking,
yeah,
you know.
This is something
that I don't understand. In fact, the people are praising the government in most of the letters that I'm reading, you know, on the websites. They say, no, the government...
Well, you know what, though? That's a false thing because the mainstream media filters out the dissent and puts the positive stuff only.
Yes.
I've tried to get on radio stations, mainstream stations, when they allow people to call up, like you're calling me, and they won't put me on.
Yes.
I'm not allowed to speak in the mainstream. In fact, the CNN did a hit piece on me on the Paula Zahn show. They put me and a couple of other